Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Like
TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.
Let's go. It is time to talk some college football, and we are going to head out to the SEC. Up next for the 22nd ranked team in the country, Texas A&M, they will be facing Auburn. And Aggies head coach Kevin Sumlin has certainly impressed in his first year. And the good news is, if you take a look at his track record as a head coach, especially on the road, it's impressive. I mean, he's won 9 straight away from home, including last season when he was at Houston. This is a guy that just figures out a way to strategize and to win those tough road stretches. And that's a real positive, because if you look ahead at the Aggies' schedule, they got some big road games coming up. We just mentioned Auburn, at Mississippi State, and then at Alabama. So it has been a while since we have focused in on Texas A&M, and we are so delighted to welcome back to our show a guy that knows what it takes to win in the game, the all-time winningest coach at Texas A&M, also the 2012 College Football Hall of Fame inductee, and we are looking forward to that. That is coming up December 4th. So, R.C. Slocum, welcome back to the show. We have missed you, Coach. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be with you. This is an exciting time of the year, and it's fun to talk football.
Well, it's an exciting time for you personally, and we're going to hit on that here in just a moment, but let's talk about the task at hand, because a lot of changes have taken place since we had a chance to visit with you this summer. What have been your impressions so far of the Aggies? They've got this first-year new head coach in Kevin Sumlin, and a lot of positives going on right there in College Station and at Kyle Field.
I think they've done a great job. The coaches have and the players have, and I think there's just a tremendous excitement about our program. I think our team has probably exceeded the expectations maybe of some. You know, going, we had a brand new coaching staff, we had a new quarterback going into a brand new league, and I'd say that they've really done a good job. I've been able to attend the games and see them play. I've watched them practice, and I think Coach Sumlin and his staff, I think he put together, first of all, a good staff, a real good staff, and I think they've done a great job, and our team's fun to watch. They're playing really hard. I talked to Coach Sumlin after the game last week, and I've watched us play, and I've been around college football all of my adult life, and, you know, we're still a little short in some areas on talent, but the one thing I always look at as a coach is, how hard is your team playing? Because if your team's not playing hard, it doesn't matter how good they are. You know, they're a little better if they're talented. But the one thing, Coach Sumlin has got our team playing very hard. They're giving great effort, and I think that's accounted for where we are and how we've performed so far.
Well, they were very close to making a very big statement nationally, you know, almost if they could just pull out that win against LSU. And as you said, you know, the fans, what Coach Sumlin has been able to accomplish so far, it is exceeding expectations. I guess it's not a surprise, because when you look at Kevin Sumlin's resume, he's worked for some terrific coaches, of course, spent time at Oklahoma under head coach Bob Stoops, spent time under your system as well. Why is he being so successful, and why was he the right man for this job?
I think you hit on it. First of all, he's a bright guy, a very bright guy, a fun guy to be around. He likes people. But he's had a tremendous football background. He worked for Dennis Erickson at one time. He worked for Joe Tiller, who's a great coach, and spent time with him. Spent some time with us here. Spent, you know, 5 years, I think, at Oklahoma. And they were, during that span, were about as good as anybody in college football.
Right.
Then had coaching experience before he came here. Successful head coaching experience. So if you want to look at a resume, he had about as solid a resume as you could find to come into a job like this, and I think it shows. And I think his biggest asset is he's got all, he knows football and all that, but I think he cares about people and cares about kids, and he's got one of those personalities that kind of reaches out and grabs kids and grabs people, and I think that'll really pay dividends for us in recruiting.
He's got the personality, the discipline, but also, and RC, you understand this as a former head coach, the ability to recognize talent. I mean, he's been able to pluck some great kids and get them into the program.
He's brought in kids, and he's got a good mixture of being kind of fun and making things fun, but at the same time, don't ever doubt his ability to be a disciplinarian and have guys playing hard. And just to be totally fair, the guys that play hard and play well are going to be the ones that play.
The Aggies right now, they certainly are playing well. The SEC's best when you talk about things offensively. Their shining star is their quarterback in Johnny Manziel. He's coming off a tough week, of course, was intercepted, you know, three times. But he has shown us his ability to make some really exciting plays.
He's amazing. I tell you, he is so fun to watch, and he's a neat kid. I know the kid personally. And he's just the neatest little guy, and he just takes it all in stride. He's done way better. I mean, last week he made a couple bad decisions, but that's what young quarterbacks do. He has far exceeded what would be reasonable expectations for a freshman quarterback. And whatever success we've had this year, he's had a big hand in the offense successes we've had. I've been just amazed. He is so fun to watch.
We are so delighted to have along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, R.C. Slocum, a familiar face and voice, the former head coach at Texas A&M, who had such an incredible career there. We miss him in college football, but of course he's being inducted in the 2012 College Football Hall of Fame class. We're going to hit on that here momentarily, but I know you are a defensive guy, so let's talk about, you guys have the nation's top defensive line tackler in what, Demontre Moore. Now, I understand he sustained knee and ankle injuries last week against LSU. First of all, how is he doing? And this is a player that you're certainly keeping your eye on.
I think he's one of the premier players in college football.
Okay.
He's been a real player on our defense, which has really exceeded the expectations. I think our defense has really played well. I'd be totally honest that they've exceeded my expectations. You know, after watching them and knowing the overall talent level and everything, they have really Coach Snyder, the defensive coordinator, and his guys have really done a great job. This team is playing hard, and I think they're getting better every week. And Demontre has certainly been a big factor in that.
And, of course, this weekend, as we were just talking about our preview, facing Auburn, and it's hard to believe they're only 2 years removed from that national title. How do you see this particular game playing out? I know that, you know, the Tigers, they have really struggled this year, but, you know, Aggies looking to bounce back after that loss last week.
Well, I think you just made a pertinent point. They're 2 years removed from being a national championship football team, so you can be well assured that they have talent on that team. Now, I don't know the reasons for their shortcomings this year, but when you talk about Auburn and talk about the SEC and talk about a team that 2 years ago won the national championship, you know, they'll have players. When we look at them trot out on the field, they'll be a good-looking football team, and they're playing at home. And so these kinds of games really worry coaches. You go in there, and, you know, people on paper, we're favored to win the game. But these are the kind, if you could get inside the brain of Coach Sumlin, these games make you nervous. You know, when you trot out there against LSU, you say, there's no doubt, you know, we're gonna get the maximum effort. And you know, guys are fighting for their lives. And as you said earlier, though, Kevin's done a great job in these situations of playing on the road and getting a great effort. So hopefully that'll be the same this week.
Coach, what do you think the biggest issue is that the Aggies need to address? What comes to my mind is taking care of the ball, eliminating those turnovers, right?
No question. And we've been pretty good about that this year. But in the last game, as in all big games, you can't afford turnovers. And some of them were just freak things. One, we had the receiver wide open across the middle in a big situation. Quarterback does a great job delivering the ball, hits him right in the numbers and the ball. And this kid's a good receiver. And on that particular play, he was probably thinking about running for a touchdown, which he might well have done. But the ball hits, pops up, and comes down to an LSU defender. So that's one that, you know, we did that to ourselves. That's not on that particular play. We had more to do with that problem than LSU did. But in big games, you've got to eliminate those. And as I said, in having a young quarterback, that's not unusual. And you just have to learn and say, you know what, that particular play, the receiver should have caught it. The last interception was a bad throw, an ill-advised throw. Johnny shouldn't have thrown that ball. He was running to his right and threw it back across the middle. And, you know, he'll learn and get better, and that's part of the game. But you can deal with some of that as a coach. If guys are just laying on the line and giving you great effort, then it's the coach's responsibility to correct the mistakes. But as long as they give you effort, that's the number one thing you can ask for as a coach.
Well, there are some big games on slate on hand this weekend, especially in the SEC. It's hard to believe, RC, we're in the final week of October. This is the ninth week of college football. Texas A&M at Auburn. You've got the 11th ranked team in the country, Mississippi State at Alabama, Florida, Georgia. What has been your impression as far as with Texas A&M crossing over and being a part of the SEC? And how tough is it out there to play against some of the premier competition nationally?
It's very tough, but I think it's. I've always felt that competition brings out the best in a person or in a team, and being in this league will be very beneficial to A&M over the long haul. I've already seen tremendous benefits. We've probably gotten more positive recognition this year than we have in the last 5 years, and just on the national scale, national scene, where people around the country are talking about us and talking about the games and. I think you grow, if you're made out of the right stuff, you grow into that. You've been a competitor yourself, and you know, I used to tell people, if you don't think that's true, go out and take your 10, 12-year-old kid and just go out there and play one-on-one hoops, and you just beat him 52-2, and that's no fun. But you get your old college buddy, and you're out there, and it's pretty evenly matched and everything, and then, you know, that's meaningful, and the competition is meaningful, and it brings out the best in you. And that's what I think it will do for all of our athletic teams, not just football, but all of our teams. I think we'll have to grow up to the competition some, and we have some teams that are capable of going there right now and competing in that league. I don't think and have never thought that it was going to be this big, huge mismatch in all our sports, and we was going to go in there and get kicked around and do it. I never thought that. I actually had some Aggies say that to me, you know, that why would we do that, go over there. I said, you've got a different opinion of Texas A&M than I have. First of all, we don't plan on going over and getting kicked around. We'll go in there and compete. We won't win every game. We may not win the championship the first year. But we will be a competitive team, and over some period of time, we will grow into being a contender to win the league.
That's right. You do. You grow up the most out of those highly emotional, those physical games, and you got to love the competition. Well, quickly, let's transition. Let's zero in on you, Coach Slocum, because first of all, congratulations on the big, big news. You're being inducted into the 2012 Class College Football Hall of Fame. It was a big announcement in the month of May. You have certainly come a long, long way since those early days in Orange, Texas, right?
Well, I've been so blessed. I've had so many wonderful people. I had great coaches when I was a youngster that had an impact on my life. And in my adult life, I've been associated with so many wonderful players and coaches and trainers and managers and ADs. And so I've been kind of going along for the ride in this thing. And this award, this recognition is very meaningful because it's one that's around the country by your peers and people in the game of football. But it's like a lot of awards. I get my name on it, but it's one that absolutely so many had a hand in it. And it's fun for me because it validates the work of those coaches. You know, like Gary Kubiak worked for me.
Oh, yes.
Dennis Allen with the Oakland Raiders played for me and worked for me.
Bob Davey.
Just go on and on of the guys that helped, you know, that worked side by side with me in doing this, and it validates their work and those players, all the long line of players that played here that established some of those marks that we had. I had one class there, went 4 years. Their 4 years in school, they never lost a conference football game. Well, you don't do that individually. You do that collectively. There were a bunch of people. And so it's fun. And going in, one of the neat things that we'll have some meaning up in the Dallas area, Jimmy Johnson is going in.
Oh, yes.
This year. And Jimmy and I grew up. I grew up in Orange. He grew up in Port Arthur.
Uh-huh.
So you had two guys down there whose dads were plant workers, and football allowed us to do something other than working the plants, and that was a goal for both of us. I talked to Jimmy, and he said he worked one summer as a welder's helper. He knew he didn't want to do that for a career. And I was in the shipyard chipping slag off of wells, and I said, man, if I can find something else to do other than work in the shipyard or in those refineries, and I couldn't believe they'd pay you to coach football, you know, go play ball. So it's been a fun thing, and I'm especially honored that Jimmy and I, two boys from Southeast Texas, will be in New York to receive this award.
Well, RC, and it's such a special meaning because so many of the greats and the guys that you're going to be inducted with, you had just highlighted and mentioned Jimmy Johnson, Phil Fulmer as a coach is going to be going in. And these are guys that you have admired for so many years. But I think it's just amazing how humble you are, your recognition of your staff. You just rattled off Gary Kubiak, Dennis Allen, Bob Davey. Hey, we forgot Tommy Tuberville. But also, you know, this is special meaning for all the players that have been a part of your program. I read somewhere, you've had 50 players that have been a part of the NFL. That's tremendous.
Yeah, it is. My son, Sean's a coach at Green Bay. Right?
I know that. He's got that Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, I went out and watched him play the Texans a couple of weeks ago.
You did. And you know what? Let me ask you this. What have your sons said about this? Because this has, you know, has got to be close to their heart, too. So proud of their father.
Well, they have. You know, they're two good boys. I have had really fun with them. Sean's in football. The other one, John Harvey's in Houston in the oil business. Actually works for Ray Childress down there in the directional drilling company.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're all ball guys, and I've got now one granddaughter at A&M, and I've got one that just today posted on Facebook. She had been accepted. She's coming in next year. She's an outstanding volleyball player, but she's 20th, I think, in a class of 850 or something at National Honor Society, and has been accepted to A&M. So life's good. I've been, as I said, very blessed.
Well, yes, and I do have to ask you, because I know so many of the listeners are Aggie fans that do listen to the program. They're like, how is R.C. Slocum doing? What's retirement like for you? And, you know, the big inspiration is Bill Snyder and with the job he's doing at Kansas State. I mean, do you have any opportunities? Are people contacting you as perhaps to get back into coaching? I mean, do you ever have to try to make decisions? Would you make that decision to go back into coaching and be a part of it?
A number of opportunities. After I left A&M, the next day, before 9 o'clock, I had two different universities, Division I schools, in this state contact me about the openings that they had. And I've had several since then, and North offered me a job, North Turner in the NFL.
Yes.
I just had to make a decision. I feel real good about it. Now, I had spent 30 seasons at A&M, and everything I had was maroon and white, and I had all those players, 30 years of players.
Uh-huh.
And both my boys were Aggies. I got nieces and nephews, and I was just too maroon to switch hats. And so I said, you know, I can go somewhere else and change hats. And and it's just a personality thing. I see some guys that bounce from this school to that school to that school, and it really doesn't matter. It's just a job, and they go in, and who's going to pay them the most? And I'll coach here for a while, and if you give me more money, I'll jump over here and play over here. And that never was me. I turned down an NFL head job back when I was the head coach at A&M. And that never – I'm – you know, grew up in this state, love the high school football here, have so many Aggie friends that I've spent what free time I had, what little free time, if I went fishing or playing golf or hunting or whatever, I did it with Aggies. So I just said, you know, I'm gonna finish this thing out here. And I've been fortunate the school has allowed me to stay involved, and I do whatever little things I can do around there to promote Texas A&M. But so I'm very comfortable, and I won't be coaching anywhere. I don't. That chapter's closed. I stay close. I'm president, still president of the American Football Coaches Foundation. So I stay involved with coaches, but I don't. I'm not involved on the field. I do miss the coaches and the day-to-day involvement with the players. I miss the heck out of that.
I bet, yeah, when the month of August or July rolls around, you miss the, you know, just getting to spend time, that camaraderie in the locker room with the guys, breaking down game tape. I mean, when that's been such a huge fabric and part of your life, it is kind of hard to close that chapter in the book, isn't it?
My personality, I like to coach. My wife says, you need somebody else to coach. I've got some horses out here. I try to coach them. You know, I make them run laps and make them do things, and so I get that part. I think some people are just geared that way, that they like to, you know, like to, I don't know, teach or whatever. I think I'm a born teacher. You know, I started out teaching world history and civics at the high school level and coaching. But it's fun to take a skill and take a person and say, let's work on this. Let's work on getting better at this. And it's fun. I enjoy doing that. And would still enjoy it. I mean, there's a part of me that would give anything just to be out there doing it. But I always fight that emotion and just say, you got to be smart about this now. You got, and I'm getting to do a bunch of things that I would never, ever have had a chance to do if I were coaching. So it's a balance, and I told my wife recently, it's like maybe I never got it all out of my system, you know, but I don't think any coach or player does. You know, I've had a number of my players, when their NFL careers were over, really struggle with not being a football player. And I said, you know, at some point you have to deal with that. Some point in your life you have to say, I'm no longer a player. And I think it's healthy for coaches to some point say, you know, I've loved it. I love being a player. I love being a coach. But there are other things that you can do and find enjoyment. I talked to Spike Dykes yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And Spike said, you know, I've loved it, man. He said, I love it, and I miss the heck out of it, but not enough to do it again. So he put it in better words than I can, perhaps.
It is a major commitment, and I know that you get a sense of satisfaction giving back. And I have to share with our listeners, and I know we talked about this before. I think I'd interviewed you just before you were getting ready to do this and deliver the summer commencement speech, and it was just so powerful, well-prepared. There were so many great coaching points for the game of life, as you talked about. In fact, I taped it. And I had my son listen to it several times. There were just so many things that we need to be reminding this younger generation that's coming up, you know, appreciating the worth in others, the standard of excellence in all that you do. Give great effort, and it will be recognized. Can you share some of those, RC, with our listeners?
Well, I'm honored that you would mention that, and I'm really pleased that you would find some worth in my comments. I take great responsibility in having the opportunity to talk to young people. And one of the things that concerns me, and I say this not wanting to offend anyone, but I do believe this, I don't think kids have changed that much. I think parents have changed. I think we've got some parents that don't really have guts enough to be parents. And we've allowed young people I think young people need boundaries, and they need care, and they need... You know, part of coaching is taking people and saying, you know, you can't, that's not good for you. I'm not going to let you do that. And trying to work ways where they understand why you don't want them and why this is not good for you. And then there are certain values that it's so important that parents, coaches, and, you know, I was involved as a youngster growing up in a church situation. You know, so I had a bunch of people around me that were hammering values to you. Now, it doesn't mean you always do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but it means that somehow you develop a conscience about when you do wrong things, there's some little voice there saying, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that, man. You know better than that. You've been taught better than that, and that's not good for you. And where does a kid get that? Where does a kid get that? If he doesn't get it at school and from coaches, and so many of our families don't go to church, so you don't get it there, and then if the parent doesn't get it, where's the kid going to get it? And without a strong sense of right and wrong, good and bad, without that strong sense, how does one make decisions? How does a youngster, if he's never been taught the value of life and to respect other people, well, then he can slap a girl or shoot somebody or do whatever. He's never been taught that. So it's really hard to condemn him without looking deeper into it and say, well, you know, has he ever had anyone work with him coming up when he was at a tender age to say, you know, you got to respect other people and respect the people around you. And everybody in this whole creation is special. We're all in the same thing together. We're all created by the same creator.
That's right.
And we all have a basic human worth. And for you to violate someone else in any kind of way, physical, verbal, whatever, that's wrong. But if you've never learned that, you know, and that's where I see that it worries me to death. So every time I get a chance to talk or have somebody to listen, whether it's parents or kids, I try to express some of those thoughts. And I was very thankful that our president here, Dr. Boyne Lofton, invited me to speak to our graduates. And that's what I talked about. I said, yeah, you've got great, you know, you've been taught chemistry and mathematics and English and all those things. And you've had the best professors in the world. But when you get out in this world, I'm here to tell you that it's more to it than that. You know, those little simple things, treat other people like you'd like to be treated. That's a real little simple deal, but it has powerful meaning.
Well, and it was one of my favorite gold nuggets that you know, starting each day, you said, being thankful for all that you have. Don't go through life being a taker. The caring and generosity of others, you know, thinking of others, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, it's just, it seems so simple, but it's so overlooked in our daily lives, RC.
Well, I credit my mother. You know, we didn't have much at all as a youngster in the way of material things, but I never knew that. I always thought we were blessed. We lived in America, for one thing. You know, the land of opportunity.
That's right.
We didn't have much, but said, man, if you work hard and take care of your business and get an education, you know, the sky's the limit of what you can do. But start every day. Don't worry about what you don't have, but take a good assessment of what you do have and all the things that you have to be excited about and thankful for. And I give her credit, but I've started every day of my life I do that. And I just get up and I won't let myself. And I think attitude's a choice. It's up to you. And some people, unfortunately, go through life and just they're just unhappy. When you see them, they're always complaining about something. Something's wrong. This is wrong. That. And then you see other people, well, they make you feel so good. You see them, they're always uplifted about something. But boy, let me tell you what happened.
Oh, yeah.
So, you feel good being around. So each of us has a choice to make when we get up each day of which one of those people am I going to be. So I choose every day to get up. You know, I had a situation here at A&M that I wasn't at all happy with. It's very disappointing to me when I was told I could no longer coach here. But I was given that choice, and I went in and told my players. At the meeting when I was allowed to go talk to them and announce to them. And I said, you know, I've told you and all the ones before you, it's not the bad things in life that happen to you that are important, but it's how you react to those things. Now, I have a chance to demonstrate if that was all just a bunch of bull, if I really believe it. And I will make a pledge to each one of you in this room. I'm going to walk out of this room. I'm going to hold my head up. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be thankful for the good things. And I'll pledge to you I'm going to do that. And I've tried to do that.
And you absolutely have in a first-class way. And we are so excited, RC, to recognize you going into the College Football Hall of Fame. You deserve it. And also, this weekend, something very special is happening at your alma mater at McNeese State. Tell me about that, RC.
Well, the president of the university has invited me back. It's homecoming weekend, and a bunch of the old players that I played with are coming back, and they're going to recognize me at halftime for this Hall of Fame recognition. I'm torn because I'd love to be with the Aggies at Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a special opportunity to go back with people I've known for a long, long time and to a place that was good enough to give me a scholarship when I was a little kid, being the first in my family to ever go to college.
That's
so
right.
I'm indebted forever to them for that benefit. But I'm going to go back and see them, and they're going to recognize me at halftime of the ball game.
It is so amazing how the years fly by, too, isn't it, RC?
Yeah, they go by fast.
They do.
I mean, I'm not going to complain. Just, you know, just let me keep being part of those years.
That's right. We're thankful for every day that we get. Well, listen, have fun at the ranch and your big road trip. And, RC, we'll talk to you real soon. Hopefully, we'll talk to you in the month of December after the big induction, okay? Okay, blessings to you. Thank you. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment as the college football conversation will continue.